fourth week, and I'm just going to continue on that. So living your best life. So Pastor, the last thing Pastor talked about last week was he spoke about the story of Gideon and how God wants us to see our lives the way he sees us. And I just wanted to kind of continue along those lines of, you know, we've heard living your best life is walking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show us things about our personal life. But my first point this morning is, we cannot live our best life without being conscious that you're on a journey as a Christian to heaven. So we cannot live our best life without being conscious that we're on a journey to heaven. So if I ask us this morning, you know, how long does the Bible say that we will live on earth? It's not a trick question. How long does the Bible say that we will live on earth? Or how long do you think a Christian should live on earth? Everyone's serious. Okay. But we know that people, like in the days of old, some people lived on up to 1,000 years. Some people lived in their 90s and so. But actually, when we're talking about living our best lives and being conscious that we're on a journey to heaven, one of the things I will say is, for me as a Christian, it's like a trick question. Because how long are you going to live as a Christian? You're going to live forever. Yeah, because this life that we live on earth is just part of the journey. At the other side, by God's grace, we're all going to go to heaven. And that's why you can't live your best life as a Christian without being conscious of eternal life. And I'd like us to just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 51 to 56. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 56. And I'll read here. It says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must be clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come to pass. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" I remember going to a funeral, you know. You know, the Bible says one thing about going to maybe a funeral when someone's passed away. The Bible says it's better to go to a place where someone has passed than to rejoicing. That sounds odd, right? Why would the Bible say that? Because when you're in a party and you're doing your thing, you're living in the moment. But when you go to a funeral, and the bit for me, you know, I don't like to go to funerals. The bit for me is when the priest lowers that casket in the ground. And you're just like, wow, is this the end of this mortal body here on earth? And I remember being at a funeral and the casket was lowered and the man of God's wife next to me, do you know what she said? Everybody's were throwing their roses and stuff. Do you know what she said? She said, "Good night." And in my mind, I said, why would this lady say good night? But I remember this scripture. As Christians, we live our best life being conscious of heaven. As a Christian, we live forever. This body dies, but you live forever. You live eternally. She was saying good night because that person, if you died in Christ, you didn't die. You're asleep. You're in a long sleep. So that scripture is fulfilled. Those who are alive will be caught up. I don't know if you watch Superman, if you watch Spider-Man, all those tricks they do, man, it won't be compared to the flashing. When Jesus comes and takes us, we'll be caught up in the air. And the Bible says those who are asleep, not dead, will be taken. So living your best life is being conscious that you're on a journey to heaven. So, you know, Jesus wants us to know this morning that he does want us to have good things, good career, money and all of that. But you know when you get troubled with the worries of life, energy bills and things like that, just think, I'm on a journey. You see, sometimes when those bills come, when those energy bills, I know it can be stressful. But let's just think about eternity. Does anyone know the number, the last number of eternity? I don't think any scientists have discovered it. But this part of our life is just like, can you think of a zillion, billion zeros? This part of your life is not even 1%. But you see, the devil's got us confused. We worry so much about this life. I'm not saying we shouldn't have good things because God wants us to, but you cannot live your best life without being conscious that you're on your way to heaven. So, as Christians, we live on. That death is just something that needs to happen on this side of the world, but you sleep. So that's the first thing I wanted to remind us this morning. To live your best life, you need to be conscious that you're on a journey to heaven. When you're getting stressed at work, when life hits you, just think, you know what? Thank God this is just 1% of my life. I'm on a journey to heaven. The second point I wanted to talk about is how can we live our best lives as Christian? Is we need to live our best life as Christians by discovering ourselves in the Word of God. I know it sounds so cliche, read your Bible, but we need to discover ourselves in the Word of God because as a Christian, what defines your life is the Bible. So if you don't know what's in the Word of God, you cannot discover who you are. And everything concerning your life is in the Bible. I just wrote some points here. What does reading the Bible help you with? It helps you with decision making. Sometimes there's some things that you can't tell anyone, only God knows in your heart. You know, I don't know if it's happened to you. Sometimes you'll be struggling with a decision or something. You'll come to church and a message is preached that is right along the path of what you're struggling with. Or you just open a scripture, or you listen to a praise and worship that is filled with the Word of God. So discovering yourself is discovering yourself in the Word of God. And also as well, you know when we pray, I don't know, I went to a Catholic school, so, you know, I loved going to Catholic school and everything. You know, but one thing it taught me is, I remember we go to assembly, we say glory to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we say our Father who art in heaven and everything. But basically, when you pray with the Word of God. So if you don't have the Word of God in you, then you don't know what to pray. There's a scripture that says, you will decree a thing and it shall be established. You can get that from Job chapter 22, verse 28. What it means is, when we use God's Word to pray, God's Word is not just black and white ink. God's Word is life, is power. When you use God's words to pray, you cause things to exist. So when we're talking about living our best lives, we cannot live our best lives without discovering ourselves in God's word. Amen. And you know what? I hear some of us saying, oh, God, but reading the word of God is boring. Is any one of us going to admit that? Well, I'm the only bad person this morning. I guess all of us are good. So we always feel like reading our word. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm the only bad person. Lord, have mercy on me. But if we're real, have you noticed if there's a Netflix series, and you know these Netflix people, they're so bad. Once you finish watching one, they'll suggest, because you've watched this, we suggest this. So you plan to chill for 1 hour. It's now 5 hours. You know, you do a Netflix binge. Has that happened to anyone before? Okay, I'm the only bad person like in this place. But when it comes to reading the Word of God, oh my Lord, that's when you pick up the Bible. Then, what's that WhatsApp message? What's that Instagram? When you read the Word of God, everything distracts you. Phone call comes in. You know, But the word of God is actually what can make you live the best life. That Netflix program, yes, it makes you chill. But that director has made his money. You're the one still there. Oh, if you watch that program. But the word of God that can change and transform your life. The devil's always, I don't know if it happens to you. Yeah, you know, I've been saying, oh God, please, give me a passion for your word. But you know what, in this day and age, there are ways that we can enjoy the word of God. In fact, I think in this day and age, it's actually more easier. One of the things I do, you don't need to follow me. One of the things I do is, sometimes when I'm reading the word of God and I know that I'm just reading it so that the angel of God can say, yes, Remy has read her word today. But that's not the kind of reading God wants. Sometimes I just switch on a teaching and I listen to the teaching and I'll follow the word of God that way. Sometimes, do you know there are like podcasts? If we have Spotify, Apple Play, all these things, there are actually podcasts that you can follow. Sometimes as well on our app. I don't know if you have a Bible Gateway app. There's, what is this one that I have? But they often have different like series. It's just so, they've made it so easy. And if you're like me, you don't like reading. Anyone here, oh God, I don't like reading. I hail all the doctors in the house, all the PhD people, but man, I don't like reading. But you know that you can listen to the Bible. Sometimes I just put the audio on. So God wants us to come into his word. God's word is interesting. I remember a pastor saying, any film that you want is in God's word. This is my husband here, oh my God. And another sister, I won't say her name. If you name any film, they know it. They've watched it. Even before it came out, they watched it. But the pastor was saying, every film that you can imagine is in the word of God. If you want horror, just go to Revelation. When they're talking about all those heads, all those animals. If you want romance, go to Solomon. You know, if you want wisdom, if you like medieval stuff, just go to Kings of Solomon. If you see what those people did, every movie is in God's word. Just got to make it interesting. And God wants us to discover ourselves in his word. You cannot live your best life as a Christian without discovering his word, discovering yourself in his word. The next point that I'm going to talk about, which it may be a little bit odd, but God was just ministering to me. To live your best life as a Christian, it's very important the church you go to. I know everyone's like, ugh, I'm not marketing the church. No, that's not what I'm doing. But you know, it's really important the church you go to. Because not only will you be fed, you'll be taught the right word of God. You know, the Bible talks about Timothy. God instructs Timothy how he should lead the woman, lead the young one. It's very important the church you go to. And I realized in my personal life that the church you go to will shape your life. And apart from the spiritual aspect, praying church or word church and all those things, do you know that God wants us to gain more from the church? I want us to turn to Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 18, verse 1 to 3. And it says here, maybe if I can have it on the board, please. Sorry, I didn't go quickly enough. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. Okay, so let me give you a context of that story whilst I go to it. Oh, thank you. So this talked about Paul. I think everybody who's a Christian, like, we know Paul. And So when Paul was going around and he was setting up the churches, he met some people along the way, and he met so many people. And this scripture talks about two individuals called Aquila and Priscilla. We'll just read the verse here. It says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. One of the things I want to get at from here is, apart from Paul's ministry and all the miraculous things God used him to do, one of the things that I noticed that people don't know you can get from the church you go to is valuable collaboration. What do I mean by that? The Bible talks about the church of Acts, that they cared for one another in every area. So Paul here, he used to be like a tent maker, and he met this couple who were tent makers, and he was able to progress in it more. And the Bible says he did this job to help him along his ministry. So what am I saying in the house? The church you go to, God has positioned you there, and they are your family. For example, maybe you're looking for a job, I don't know, IT. You might not know. You see, prayer is powerful. But I remember a man of God once saying something to me. You know when women are like, they're looking, oh God, I don't know who I should marry. You know, we love prophecy. We want the prophet to speak. But he said, why should a prophet speak if it's already in front of you? There's no need to speak. It's like I prepare breakfast and I know I'm eating toast and egg. And I say, God, prophesy to me what I'm eating. Does that make sense? I know what I'm eating. So sometimes, yes, it's prayer and stuff. But there are people in the house of God who maybe in their job, they're looking for IT person, or they're willing to train you. And I just want us to know that in the church of God, we're brothers and sisters. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I know some of us might not be comfortable sharing things amongst ourselves, but if you go to pastor knows everyone in the church. Well, he knows more than everyone else. He'll be able to say, oh, my sister, just go to that brother there. Just go under his ropes. He'll take you through that IT stuff. He'll take you through. So as a church, it shapes you. And the church, I thank God for choosing to come to this church. Because the church that you go to, it shapes your life, whether you like it or not. The teaching you hear every service, it shapes your mindset. The people you mix with, the Bible says there is safety in the multitude of godly counsel. So in living your best life, it really matters the church that you go to. Also as well, the other thing that God is saying to me, and I was like, oh my God, I don't know whether I should say this, but you know what? I have to say what God's word says. Another thing about living your best life as a Christian is partnering with God. We talked about it earlier on that living your best life is living your life conscious of heaven, right? So if we're conscious of heaven, we need to partner with God. And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And this morning, like, God just led me to write two questions down. What is your work? And how is your work? So when I say, what is your work? What is God talking about there? The work that you did in your IT job, the work that you did in your family, the work that you did in your school, the car that you bought. That's not what the work that the Bible's talking about here. So when you're a Christian, there's an opportunity to partner with God, I'm telling you. How can we partner with God? You can partner with God in so many ways. You can volunteer in building the house of God, evangelism, interceding at home, praying. What I'm trying to tell us is, like, living our life, our best life as a Christian, it cannot be without partnering with God. Because what this scripture is saying is, every one of us is going to stand before God. Your husband's not going to be there. Your best friend is not going to be. We're going to be there on our own. And God is going to say, my dear sister, I've seen your works. So there's two ways I want to come with it. So first of all, what is your work? It doesn't have to be me being up here teaching. It doesn't mean that my work is better. It can be any work. I remember a story I heard about, it's a story in Africa, about a sister. She was involved in a terrible accident. And the people in the church, they were worried. They went to the pastor and said, oh, sister so-and-so, she's been involved in an accident. And you know what the pastor said? Nothing will happen to her because she sweeps the church. What he was trying to say is, how can someone who partner with God, impossible. The devil has no, it can never overcome them. So when I heard the story, I said, wow. So God is interested in every kind of work. God values the sweeping that that woman does in the church. If you're someone and maybe you do the snacks, you think it's nothing. Let me tell you, God values that work. If you never bought the snacks, there'll be no fellowship. There are people that come here early in the morning and set up these chairs that we're sitting on. If they didn't set it up, we'll have no chairs. God is saying, I value that work. So that's why I say, what is your work? And the next question is, how is your work? Maybe we are working, but nowadays, oh God, man, you see, to attend that choir practice, God can see, Joe, I'm pregnant, you know? But God is saying, how is your work? Is that how you start the work? How is your heart towards that work? And that scripture really scares me because the Bible says, I'm going to test your work. You know, I remember the man of God preaching saying, you can have PhD. If you like, let them bury you with your gold and your diamond and your bling. But God is asking, what is your work? He don't care if you're a PhD. He don't care if you're a prime minister. I always say to my husband, if you sit in Buckingham Palace and I sit in Newport in Wales, both of us, when God calls us, is the same soil. There's no first class soil, there's no second class soil. All of us is the same soil. You understand? Sometimes we need to have that perception. So God is saying this morning, what is your work? And if you are doing a work, how is your work? Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Sometimes maybe you facilitate a prayer session. You know, maybe you're tired. Maybe you're usher. Some people, you know, I'm not saying anybody in this church, but maybe you tell them to sit here. They said, okay, please, I want to sit where I want to sit. He said, God, you're receiving insults. You know, don't worry about that. Just carry on with your work because there's someone up there who is marking your work. You get fed up sometimes coming to church for a meeting. Don't, because God is valuing your work. Can you imagine God was taking a of that lady sweeping the church? The things that people don't see. So God is saying, living your best life is partnering with God. The other point I wanted to make was, living your best life is being conscious of Jesus' presence. And what I wrote here is, living your best life is living a life of miracles. A life where you walk with Jesus, you walk with angels. So the reason why I said that is sometimes when we walk this earth, you feel you're alone. But living your best life is being conscious that, you know what, Jesus is with me. Like Pastor preached, the Holy Spirit is with you. And you know, something funny happened to me this morning when I wrote this point down about living your best life is living a life of miracles and being conscious that Jesus was with you always. You know, I just started crying. I said to myself, why am I crying? Is it pregnancy hormones or something? They say you cry. But then I said, you know, I started crying. And when I came out of it, it was like, this is how Jesus feels. Jesus weeps. He hurts when my people live their lives without me, not knowing I'm with them. Why are they struggling without me? And so I said, because that cry, it was a deep cry. I said, why am I crying? I said, this is how Jesus feels when my people do not know that I walk with them every day. And as a Christian, living a miraculous life should be a normal life for us. And one thing I love as a Christian is I love testimonies. You know, when you read the Bible, you hear all the miracles and stuff. Sometimes we think, oh, that happened a long time ago. But when you hear miracles now, in this century, it just sharpens your faith. And so I was talking to my mom and I was trying to reflect on situations where it's been the hand of God. And I wanted to share with us like a testimony, of a couple of testimonies to encourage us this morning, that Jesus is really walking with us as Christians. I don't know if anyone of us knows a gospel artist called Travis Green. He sang this song, You made a way when my back was against the wall. Okay, I think some of us know him, Travis Green. He's a gospel artist in America. And I remember just reading his biography, and he shared an amazing testimony. And when I read this, I was like, wow. So when he was four years old, he used to live with his parents in Germany, and he fell from a four-story building. I don't know how high a four-story building is. And so he fell, and he said, when he fell in his unconsciousness, he could hear his mother praying, and his mother told him they covered him. You know, when someone's died, you know, they normally cover him. But he could hear his mom praying. And so by God's grace, he survived the accident. But when he survived, whilst he was dead, he told his mom what he experienced. And I believe this because a four-year-old, I don't think they lie. He told his mom that when he fell, that he didn't hit the floor. He said a big hand caught him and dropped him. And someone, he heard a voice saying, do you want to go to your mom? Or do you want to come with me? And he said, I want to go with my mom. And he said, who are you, by the way? And he said, I'm Jesus. When I heard that testimony, so he said, that is what has framed his life. No one can tell him that Jesus is not real. And this man, I remember he sang even a gospel song when, you know, the popular president that we all like, what's his name again? In America, Donald Trump, when he was sworn in. Imagine, Travis Green was one of the people who sang in the inauguration. That's just amazing. Jesus caught him. And that is how Jesus is in our lives. There's so many miracles in our life. Another testimony, I was talking to my mom, and she said, oh, why are you asking me this question? I said, because I want to encourage people this morning that Jesus is real. So one time when my mom was in Nigeria, she was living in Nigeria, we live in big families. So she was living in a house with her siblings. And she said 16 armed robbers came into the house. I don't know if we know what armed robbers are. 16 armed robbers came into the house. And she said before it had happened, you know, she normally used to have like a prayer and stuff like that. So when they heard like some people come in, her and her siblings, they locked themselves in a room. And the armed robbers, they went round looking for jewelry, looking to steal stuff. And do you know what? When the armed robber was about to open the room where all of them were in, the head of the armed robber was like, don't knock that room, don't go into that room. Can you tell me what would make him say that? When his people wanted to even open the room, he said, what's wrong with you? I told you, don't open that room. That's the angel of the Lord controlling him, saying you must not open that door. What about another miracle, another one because of time, testimony. My husband's dad told me a story. He works in the legal field. There was a serious case at the time in Nigeria. There's a very popular crook called Anini. You can Google it. I don't know if we know, called Anini. And so because his father ruled the case or whatever, I think the people, apparently the guy was, I don't know, he was judged correctly. And so the bribery didn't work. And so one night, him and his twin, because he's a twin, and they had a little baby brother at the time, and the mother and the wife, they were in the house. And this house, because his dad works in a legal field, the house is protected by security guards, fence, and everything. So there should really be no way that armed robbers can break in. All of a sudden, they just heard shooting, bullets. And him and his twin ran in one room. The dad pushed the mom and the youngest child in another room. And do you know, I don't know, I think, because I'm in the presence of God, I don't want to say what I don't know, but I think there was a lot of armed robber men, maybe like, I don't know, six or so. And only one, his dad, took a gun and was just shooting just to scare them. And do you know that there was bullets in that house? But the angel of the Lord put up supernatural blockage. None of them were hurt. Can you explain that to me? Is that not the hand of the Lord? So God wants us to know that as a Christian living your best life, you don't need to struggle. Is being conscious that God is with you. I can go on and on about testimonies. God is with you in this present time, you know. And before I leave, there's just one last thing I want to close with. Living our best life is leaving a legacy. And there's just one thing I just want to say. For anyone who is bringing up children or bringing up young people or anyone that you're nurturing, I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. That says, if I paraphrase, I think it says, bring up a child in the way of the Lord, I think. And he shall not depart. No. Proverbs 13, verse 22, I think it says, a good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. Yeah. And normally when people read that scripture, I think we think of, you know, leaving wealth, leaving riches and all those things for your children's children, which is good. But it just occurred to me this morning that what God is saying is the best legacy that you can leave to give your child, I don't know why God wants to say, if anyone who maybe have a child, is to leave Jesus with them. I'm telling you. Leave an inheritance for your children, a will, money, all of that. But don't forget Jesus. I am telling you. I've heard of so many stories of young people wanting to take overdose and kill their life. Why? Because of TikTok. Because of Instagram. Trust me, we're living in a generation where the devil is not slowing down. He's not slowing down, so we cannot let down our guards. And God's saying, leave an inheritance for your children's children. I remember the story of Timothy. The Bible says Timothy's grandmother taught him the way of God. And look how strong Timothy was. It didn't depart from him. And I just want to encourage us, the things that we do, logging into prayer meeting, praying, the children can see it. I'll tell you a funny thing that happened to me lately. I was joining prayer with our church. And you know, I was falling asleep. And my son said, my husband was laughing, "Mommy, why are you sleeping? You're not praying. Wake up." So each time I'll pray, I fall asleep. You know those prayers when you're like, "Father, Lord, Jesus." Yeah. "What, Mommy, you're not praying." And then when I speak in tongues, you know, "Rabara, godo, shipra, kade," say, "Mom, what you saying?" "Oh, I like what you're saying." He doesn't know. But when you bring a child up in that way, there's no way he can depart. Or if he sees Pokemon, he'll say, "My mommy doesn't like that." Because I've told him, Pokemon is not for you. Pokemonster, that's not for you. And God is saying that that's the legacy we need to leave. I remember when I had an illness and they said, maybe I'm going to die or something. One of the prayers I pray to God is that, "God, I can't die because this boy's name is Daniel and I need to raise him up in the way of the Lord." And Holy Spirit brought that to me this morning, that God takes that so seriously. If you have a child, God takes that so seriously because he has put that generation in your hands. So living your best life is to leave a legacy as well. And we're just going to end there. And I just want us to rise on our feet this morning. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand that living our best life is living a life that involves him. Let's just pray this morning that, "God, help me. Help me to be conscious that this life I'm living is just part of the journey. Help me to be conscious of eternity. Oh God, where I have neglected my Bible, oh God, I speak into myself this morning. God, help me to enjoy your word. Help me, Father Lord God, to live, Father Lord, as if I'm conscious of heaven. Oh God, where I've been going wrong, help me to know that you are there. Oh God, forgive me for not knowing that you're with me. The Bible says I will be with you always. I will never leave you. Help us to know that God is with us. Lord Jesus, help us know that you're with us in everything we do. Help us to live our life knowing that Jesus is with us. Help us to live a miraculous life. Help us not to struggle on our own anymore. Help us, oh God. We leave this place changing. We thank you, Lord, for our prayer life is resurrected. Our word life is resurrected. Our mindset has shifted. We discover our lives in you, oh God. Father, we worship you. We give you praise, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. We may be seated, and I know God will help us. In Jesus' name, amen.